So thank you so much, everyone, for being here today. My name is Briar Welch, and I'm the Classified Senate Vice President. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time, the Classified Know More podcast was started as a way to really break down barriers between parts of College of Marin that might seem a little bit hard to access or might kind of seem classified in that protected or obscured meeting, in particular for classified employees. And the idea really started to take shape after we had a conversation with VP Dana Emerson, and we started to have all these conversations about being human first. So the podcast serves in some ways to help us get to know crucial people at College of Marin on that human level, but also to help us learn about the inner workings of College of Marin from new perspectives. But we really hope it serves as a bridge and as an entry point for continued conversations and as a way to help conversations happen more easily and perhaps in deeper ways. I am beyond excited today to welcome Arissa Puch, who is the VP of Finance and Operations at College of Marin. We are so fortunate to be in conversation and in community with her today. And now I would like to pass it over to Classified Senate President Sally Wong. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Briar, and thank you everyone for joining us today. So we'd like to get started because I know our time is short today. And so we would like to welcome Arissa Puch, Vice President of Finance and Operations. And by way of introduction, could you tell us about your role at COM and what areas you oversee?
Well, thank you, Sally. First of all, good morning, everyone. I hope you are well and healthy wherever you are and enjoying this beautiful morning. Thank you for having me here today. It's Sally and Briar. This is a dream come true for me to be in a podcast. So thank you for having me. As the Vice President of Finance and Operations, it is my responsibility to, first of all, support our president, Dr. Eldridge. And it is my responsibility to ensure that both our campuses are operating smoothly. It is my responsibility to ensure that our community college district has a financial that it is financially sound, and that College of Marin remains a safe and supportive place and space for our students, our staff, and community members. Also, I have the privilege of supporting highly competent and great operational leaders in our information technology department, our facilities planning, maintenance, and operations, our fiscal services, community programs, and our campus safety and police departments.
That's a lot of departments and a lot of staff. So we're so happy that you can work here with us. How long have you been at College of Marin?
I would say, so I started in July 2022, so almost 3 years. And before that, I had almost 3 years with Napa Valley College also.
Well, thank you for the introduction. And to start us off, could you share with us something about you that we wouldn't know by looking at you?
I think no one could tell that in my 20s, I used to tow airplanes from the hangar to the gates of the airport. I also used to clean lavatories of an airplane. And so I think that no one could say that. So in my early 20s, I worked for United Airlines for almost 7 years. And I would say that working on the ramp was one of the most fun, one of my favorite jobs, most fun job, I would say.
Right. Yes, I don't think any of us would have known that about you. So please tell us about your roots, where you grew up, and anything about your background that you'd like to share.
I was born and raised in the Philippines and from very impoverished situation. We were so poor that we couldn't afford electricity during my elementary years. I remember because we were using gasoline lamp every night, I would be doing homework with a gasoline lamp next to me. And the next day when I go to school, my nostrils are dark and blackened, and kids will make fun of me. But my mother, she wanted so much to give us a better life. So she left the Philippines to work, to come here in California as an immigrant, to work as a nurse's aide. And so we didn't see her for 7 years. And after that, she was able to petition me and my brothers to come. So from my father's side, my grandma was a indigenous Filipina from the north. And as you know, Philippines has over 7,000 islands. So my grandma from my side, indigenous Filipina, who married a Chinese man. And then my mother, my grandma on my mother's side was an indigenous Filipina from the southern part of the country who married a Spanish conquistador. And Philippines was colonized by Spain for over 300 years. So with all of those mixtures, this is what you get.
Well, thank you for sharing. So we are interested to hear about some of your passions in life. Tell us a little bit about what you love doing.
Passion. I believe that since our childhood, all of us, I think God put something in our hearts, and that passion is planted in our hearts. And for me, I've always known I want to be a mom. My mom told me stories that when I was a little girl, every time there's a baby, I asked her to buy the baby. I wanted to take care of it. So, and I think that as I grew up, my passion changed. I love writing. And I remember when I was 19, before coming here, I said, while waiting for our visa, I'm going to study what I really want to study. Even though my aunts and uncles and my father were saying, be a nurse, I said, I'm going to take up what I want in college. And that was mass communication, broadcasting, and journalism. So that's really was my first love. And so I did that for 1 year because I loved writing. But when I came here, English was it was my second language. And I said, how am I going to be a journalist if it's not my mother tongue? So my passion changed and I had to work. And I think I ended up taking up accounting. But now I feel like I'm starting to really enjoy nature. And I don't know if that's because I'm getting old. So I think my passion is changing. But our passion, when it crosses our skills and our gifts, that becomes our passionate cause. So for me, I love finance. I love telling the story of finance in simple words. So the storytelling, the journalistic spirit is still there. And then at the same time, education, the love for education, uplifting our system, our educational system, and the accessibility for all of our students from all walks of life. And then I also love leadership. There's something about it that I worked hard to be one. The elements of being a good leader, of modeling the way, being able to challenge our processes, being able to inspire a shared vision, and helping others, helping others to be able to lead as well. And then most of all, encouraging the heart. So those are my passion in stages of my life.
Wow, I think that's very insightful that you shared, because sometimes when I think of passions, I don't necessarily think of those changing in my life. But I mean, you gave us a very specific example of your own journey and how your passions changed because of the circumstance, or you made certain choices due to circumstances. And I really like what you said about when your passions cross with your skills. And it, I mean, you didn't say correct exactly, but it gives you a cause and maybe like a purpose, you know, and then it just, I think if we pay attention to our passions, whether wherever they, you know, come from, our experience from God, from, you know, other folks inspiring us, I think that's a really something we can kind of don't think about, you know, like what are our own passions and how does that come out, and maybe there are some premises we should need to pursue. So thank you for sharing all that. I don't know if everybody knows your kind of educational background, but I noticed the other day you have a lot of letters behind your name in your email signature. So there's MBA, CIA, which we had to look up, CHC. And so I don't know if you want to share a little about that. And, you know, because we know, we all, I think most of us know MBA means Master's in Business Administration and other certifications. So we wanted to know, like, what influenced you to choose to pursue an education and career in finance? I mean, you mentioned there were some situational reasons. And then specifically, how did you find yourself, you know, now, you know, working in higher education?
Thank you. Thank you. I put those designations and letters after my name, not to brag, but it reminds me of the blood and tears that I went through, and also all the blood and tears and sacrifices that our sons went through because they had to give up mommy time. As you can see, education was my key to getting out of poverty. And it's all of those. I had the CHC, the Certified in Healthcare Compliance, when I was at Kaiser Permanente. I worked there after United Airlines of 7 years. After I got my bachelor's degree, the doors opened up. And Kaiser Permanente offered an internal auditor job, and so I became an internal auditor. And I worked at Kaiser for 11 years, and it was a very good place for me. I appreciated that experience very much. I had the work-life balance that I needed, the support, a lot of learning from that organization, but there were changes wherein I had to commute from Kaiser's headquarters in Oakland downtown to Petaluma. So I was a commute warrior, 4 hours a day with boys growing up who need their mom before dinner. I had to make a tough choice of leaving it and looking for a new job closer to home. And thankfully, the Petaluma City School District was looking for a district accountant, and I got that job. It was 5 minutes from home, and that's where my eyes opened up about education. Petaluma City Schools is the second largest K through 12 school district in Sonoma County, and so that's how I realized this is where the action happens. You know, all the impacts were doing for our students, the families, the community, our educators, policy making. And so that was a meaningful work for me. But then deep inside, I said, I want to grow. I want to be an executive. And that's when the Buck Institute for Education in Novato opened up, and I work there as a senior accounting manager. Again, it's an educational organization that provided professional development for all faculty across the country, in the United States and the world. They actually have this annual conference, a week-long project-based learning conference where educators from Europe, Asia, all parts of the country come. And then, then Napa Valley College opened up and was looking for a controller. And I said, that is my dream job. I want that job. And so I applied for it and I got the job, even though I took a pay cut, a huge pay cut. I said, this is what I want. And that's where it all begins. I learned a lot about the community college system. I'm a product of community college. And then College of Marin opened up and the rest is history.
It's always very interesting to hear, someone's career journey, especially for many of us who might be still in the middle of it. It's always very inspiring to hear kind of, you know, how a person moves from, you know, employer to employer for different reasons. And, sometimes we don't know what's on the other side. But maybe when we get there, then we realize, oh, actually, it was a good, you know, good shift, a good change. So in our, when you talked about United Airlines and in our pre-podcast meeting, you had shared with Briar and me that you served as a union steward when you worked at United. And can you tell us about that role and some things you learned?
Yes. So as an airline airport employee, I was part of the SEIU, Local Lodge of Oakland. And so I worked on the ramp. I also worked at the ticket counter and gates at that time. So I served as a shop steward and for the SEIU. And I learned from that role how to advocate. How to advocate for myself and my colleagues for workplace safety, how to advocate for the things that we need so we can do our job effectively. And I learned the art of negotiations. I learned that for me to be able to effectively advocate for myself and others, I need to see the bigger picture. How am I going to speak up and advocate if I'm one-sided, right? So, and I remember sitting in a manager grievance meeting, and I was the shop steward representing a member. And there's the bad manager, and that's the reason why there's a grievance meeting. And there are many good managers. But there are some bad managers as well. And I remember thinking, and I was in my mid-20s, and I was observing the manager. And I said, someday I'm going to be a manager, and I'm going to be better than this. So, yeah, it was a great experience.
It sounds like sometimes in our life we have people who inspire us that we want to be like. And then it sounds like in this situation, it was a bad example of what you didn't want to be like. And so sometimes that also challenges us to, you know, when I grow up, you know, I'm going to be a manager and I'm going to, you know, be better. So thank you for sharing that. So earlier you shared that you're a product of California community colleges and proud of that. And so fast forward, you know, you had quite a career journey and now you work as an administrator here at California Community College. So what role do you think empathy plays in leadership, especially in the context of educational inequities?
Yes. So yes, I'm a product of two community colleges. And in my 20s, while working full time, when we lived in San Francisco for 5 years, I went to the City College of San Francisco. And then we had to move to the East Bay. First, we moved to San Leandro. And that's when I transferred to Chabot College. And then after that, we moved to Oakland. That my experience, I see myself in our students every day, especially our working students, those that have to work to support themselves and their family, and then are pursuing their education because they know it's their key out of poverty. And so when I think that I'm more mindful as a college administrator because of my experience. And every time I see an opportunity, to affect policy change. And I think I feel that I have an obligation to use what I learned, to use the knowledge that's given to me so that I can legally and appropriately navigate our systems, our resources, so that we can do something right away without delay, something good to support our students. I think those are the things that I carry from being a product of a community college myself. And, you know, being able to having that, you can say it, power, or having that privilege to remove barriers in the pathway of our student towards their student success and learning. So those removing those barriers, making sure that I do my diligence to allocate and understand our resources.
I think from what you shared, it remind me that sometimes we forget. I mean, I work in a student-facing, you know, office at the Welcome Center, and sometimes we forget that, you know, every student has a story, in the sense that they could be working full-time or part-time, or they have a family to take care of or to raise. You know, there could be a lot going on in a student's life that we don't have only one type of student. We don't have only full-time students here at College Marin. And so just showing empathy and consideration, you know, for a student could be, you know, you could be interacting with a student who had a bad day for whatever reason, you know, and I think I'm just, you know, glad that you share that you see yourself in the students, and as a result, you want to break down those barriers, and, you know, because you're able to identify, you know, the inequities, but also the challenges, but also a solution, potential solution, you know, at a policy level and practical level, hopefully. So, yeah, I think we all have to keep that in mind. So you shared earlier about, you know, just you always wanted to be a mom, which I highly respect because I had that as well when I was growing up, that desire to. And you're very devoted to your family. You had shared with us previously that you try to cook for your family almost every night, which we really like we admire and are amazed by. And you're also very committed to your work here at Calm. And I always, whenever I see you're smiling and you have a great attitude, and I know you're super busy as well. And then I don't know that we shared, but you're also in the doctorate program right now. So you have a lot going on. and I think you're very motivated, you know, about your current program. So could you share with us, like, how do you do it? Like, how do you prioritize all these different things, plus your family, you know, every day? And what keeps you going?
Thank you. Thank you for that question. First of all, I know I can't do it alone. There's no way. There's no way that isn't just me. I can't with my own devices and my own self. I have been getting a lot of help and reinforcements, support from many good people. And that's why it's possible. Yes, I think being away from my mom when I was 12, I'm gonna cry every time I remember this. So that was hard. When a parent is away from your child, it changes the child. And so I think when my mom had to go when I was 12, and my brothers were younger, I said, when I become a mom, I don't want to be like that. So with my boys, and they already suffered a lot, sacrifices a lot. I said, I was a hands-on mom when they were younger, and that Kaiser Permanente gave me that work-life balance. So I appreciated that so much. Cooking for my family is something that they request every day. And they're lucky because their dad is a better cook than I am. But I make it a point, especially Angelo, our oldest, he's 22 now, and the youngest is 16 now. They're used to home-cooked meals. So I make it a point that when I get home, I try to get home before six and cook. And it takes a lot of planning. So my Sunday afternoon, I spend an hour. You'll find me at Sprouts in Petaluma getting all of my ingredients for the whole week. And Mr. Butch contributes. So it's he cooks as well. But for me, my boys can tell if I had a bad day or a stressful day with my cooking. So maybe because it's bitter or something like that, but that they could tell. And that's how I show them my love, by cooking for them dinner every day. And there's no secret. I don't really follow the recipe by the book, except when I'm baking, because I tried going rogue on baking and it was a disaster. But if it's a dish, I follow my heart with the ingredients. And also in social media right now, there are just a lot of knockout recipes, simple ones that are good. So yeah.
Well, definitely, we talk about, you know, folks, we don't know sometimes, you know, we see a certain role, you know, for folks at College of Marin, but sometimes it's just really fascinating to me to learn, oh, you know, Larissa loves cooking, and, you know, just the way you approach it, and, you know, how you plan, you know, when you're a busy professional, busy executive, you know, I can't imagine, you know, just having to juggle everything. But really, you know, thank you for sharing just kind of your experience and your priorities. So sometimes we think about success, and it might mean different things for different people. So I'm just curious, like, how would you define success? I know it's kind of not an easy question. And if you could share with us, like, how has your view of success evolved or maybe shifted as you've worked through your own personal challenges, as well as your professional decisions and experiences?
Yes, for me, success, overall for me, success is found in a life that is dedicated to serving others with compassion and selflessness. That for me, that's what success is. Success is when we work from love. When I was cleaning the lavatory of an airplane, I was working from love. When we help our students navigate our systems with love, that is success. When we teach in the classroom with love, that is success. And so I think that's for me, that's success. Of course, when we have an annual audit and a budget development, love may be tough love, but that's for as long as we're working from love, that is success.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And I mean, I think just from hearing your stories and sharing, it's obvious that there's more to life, you know, than work, you know. And so sometimes when we think of success, you know, often we think of in the career sense, which definitely we all strive, I hope, you know, for success in our work. But there's also success, you know, with family, right? And with our personal passions, you know, and goals, you know. And so I think you speak to something that's core, you know, for whatever we do, you know, like, where is that serving coming from? Where is that, you know, purpose, you know, like, what is our why, you know, to bring that, you know, bring that back. So, it's very good. So we're coming, I mean, this was great. And, maybe if, I don't know if you had more to share, we could do that too, but, we would like to, wrap up our podcast today with, two questions. What advice would you give to your younger self? And along those lines, what advice would you give to classified employees tuning in today, or they might tune in later and hear the recording?
Well, I'm still young. No, I'm just joking. I would give my younger self, I'll tell my younger self, Eressa, please Exercise 5 days a week. You did well, Arisa, in your 20s. Don't give it up. So I think exercising 5 days a week, whether it's walking for me, it's walking. That's my. And I would tell my younger self, Arisa, perhaps finish your school before having children so that you can enjoy their growing years, because I know how much you miss those growing years. But if it doesn't happen, it's all right. But I would tell myself that. And perhaps, Arisa, be less impulsive in my younger years. For our classified professionals, I would like to honor Shuk Chung at this moment. She will forever inspire me with the quality of work that she produced, her soul that she shared with me and with all of us. So, you know, our classified professionals, you are the backbone of our operation. Most of you, 99%, most of you hold our institutional wisdom, and you hold this light in your hand to make sure that College of Marin is a caring campus every day. And my only hope and wish is that you will never let that light in your working hands to get dim and fade away. So thank you.
So much. We've definitely enjoyed our time with you today. And I want to turn back to Briar to see if there's anything that came in the chat that you want to share.
Yes. Hi. That was so wonderful. Thank you so much, Arisa. That was great. We have a couple of questions, actually. First, folks want to know what you write about now. So you mentioned that you love to write and that you always love journalism and things like that. So folks wanting to know what you're writing about now, we can start with that question, and then I'll go on to that.
Yes, there is this. I started to write a book, I would say, when I first came here in my 20s, only because my mother was such a great storyteller. She told me stories from her life, her puppy love. And I started this story fiction. I entitled it Under the Banana Tree. But I stopped writing when I became a mom, and I just got busy. And I hope to, when I start having time again someday, I hope to finish that book, that fictional book.
I love that. Thank you. We had another question from Monica Rudolph. Have you been surprised by the wider community expectations at College of Marin? And how do we/you need to balance student, staff, and wider community needs and requests? So I'm imagining, feel free to jump in, Monica, if you want to clarify here. But I'm imagining it's kind of like how you balance and how all these pieces kind of come together.
Yes.
The complexity of that.
I think that I will go back to the place knowing that I can't do it by myself, and that I need everybody, all of us, all of you. And I'm getting a lot of those good support from everybody. Yes, balancing is key. You know, like just like a vehicle with four wheels, we need it. It won't move forward if one of the wheels is flat or not working. And that balance between us physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, those four wheels of a vehicle, I try to achieve that balance every single day. And College of Marin, and it's I saw it first with Napa Valley College about the collegial consultation. That's how they called it there. And here we call it the participatory governance. That community of support is going to help us as well with that balance. I hope that
fabulous. We always enjoy a good pitch for the participatory governance system here. So if folks aren't on committees, or, you know, they would like more information, it really is such a powerful, powerful way to embed and sort of see the college from a new perspective. And I think it really helps kind of shed light on so many things that, you know, that seem, again, like hidden, or they seem like they're that we can't access them. So I think it's really powerful. Thank you for putting that in. That looks like that's all we have here for questions. Oh, looks like there's one more from Jesse Klein. So you manage your budget. Hold on, let me read this. So she says that you manage your budget and you do it so exceedingly well. And there's usually more needs than resources available. What has been your approach when it comes to conflict resolution?
I think key is honesty, transparency, and two heads are better than one. Once we, when we openly share what's the true situation is, you'll be surprised by all kinds of great ideas that we can get from many, many people. And I think that's my default when approaching it. And then, yeah. So I can't do it alone. All of you are great. We have great budget managers that are outstanding.
Wonderful. Thank you. I think that's all we have for today. So thank you so much for being here with us. If there's anything else you would like to add, any more words of wisdom, we are happy to listen. So
no, thank you for this opportunity. Wow, I was nervous. And I'm just so glad to be here with you all. Thank you.
I just want to again extend our thanks to Arissa for not just being here and speaking with us, but also sharing her heart, sharing her history and her passions. And definitely we learned a lot, and hope that this can spark more conversations as we continue to interact and be in community together. So I did want to give a few announcements before we close for the classified on the call. So we do have some events planned. So March 11th, in a couple weeks, we will host an afternoon tea time at IVC from 1 to 2. And then March 13th, Thursday, we will host an afternoon tea time 1:30 to 3 at Kent Field. And I hope you can join us for that. We have our own Malaika Smith, one of our classified senators, will be making Thai tea and boba. And we'll also have a selection of teas and some, you know, small bites, savory and sweet. So looking forward to spending time together there. And then we also have Classified Professional Learning Day at Kent Field coming up on March 20th. If you have any questions or any feedback or anything, always feel free to reach out to myself or Briar on the Classified Senate. And thank you again for joining us, and we will see you next time.
What a great host.
Thank you.